Morning. I was here last week, and for those of you who were here, you got a history lesson on what God has been doing in Gabon for the last 160 years, because his redemptive history began in Gabon in 1842 with people, representatives from the American Congregationalist Church and then the American Presbyterian Church, and then they were followed for a season by the European French-speaking church, and then the Alliance has been in Gabon for 75 years. So even we have our season in Gabon, because God has raised up, through his servants, he's raised up a harvest of disciples who are ready and willing to do full-time ministry. In fact, we've got many, many pastors in Gabon and people who are serving the Lord full-time in ministry. Our goal in Gabon as Christian Missionary Alliance missionaries was to eventually work our way out of a job, as we recognized that God had called and prepared national leaders. That meant that they would eventually not need foreign mission workers. And so it's my privilege to be a part of the team that is working our way out of a job. And that is why I'm not going back to Gabon. My work there as a missionary from America is done. And the work that I was doing is now being done by Africans, by Gabonese. And so we praise the Lord for that, and we're thankful for it. It was hard for me to leave Gabon, but I rejoice in how the Lord made that transition and has allowed the Gabonese to take over the various ministries of the Christian Missionary Alliance Church, not only to finish evangelizing their own people, but to send missionaries out to other nations, beginning with the continent of Africa. So that's why I'm leaving and going to Guinea. Guinea has had a mission field, at least with the Alliance. We have many, many missionaries there represented by many organizations, but the Alliance has been there about as long as they've been in Gabon. And they still need us. There are so many non-believers in Guinea, as opposed to how many Christians there are to evangelize, that they still need quite a bit of help from outside believers who are willing to come and live among them and evangelize with them. So I just praise God for all that he is doing. At that time, I also read a scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm only going to read a portion of that, but it's just to remind you that as we go about serving God and finding our role in his kingdom and our giftedness, and as we work together, we're really kind of like that. He weaves us together and he allows us to be interdependent in our ministries, because it's really his work. He always reminds us that it's really his work. But many of us could not do our ministry work if it weren't for the others working alongside us and helping us in those ministries. For instance, I am an overseas worker, but I would not be able to do my ministry role if it weren't for the churches here in the United States who are praying for me and supporting me financially through the Great Commission Fund, the GCF. And so as the pastor was saying with the pamphlet, that's your opportunity to participate in overseas missions, even if God does not ask you to actually physically go there. And so our ministry roles, our giftedness, and all of that is interconnected as God works around the world to bring the gospel. And so Paul is talking to the Corinthians here in chapter 3, and he says, beginning in the last part of chapter 5, "What after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned each of us his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow." So it really is God's work, and he just invites us to work with him in that. He gives us our giftedness. He gives us the resources by which we can give and support missions. He gives us the giftedness. If he's calling us to work overseas, he prepares us in that way too. But he uses each of us to edify the other. And so I have had Sunday school teachers and youth group leaders and seminary professors, there are so many people in the body of Christ who have participated in my development that I might go to Gabon and participate in their development. So we're all interconnected. So I just praise God for that. I'd like to show you today what's going on in Gabon now. The first PowerPoint I'd like to show you is the Bethel Bible Institute, or Institut Biblique de Bethel in Libreville, Gabon. We were a campus on the outskirts of Libreville, real close to the ocean. And this is where we trained pastoral leadership, lay leadership, pastors' wives, and future missionaries. And so my role was to teach in the classroom. I taught them English, which was the only course I taught in English. I also taught every other course in French, including missiology, mission history, Catholicism, cults, education for the children, education for youth, education for adults. Basically, God had me teach whatever they put in my hands to do. So I've learned that you don't say no. You just say, okay, Lord, I've never done this before, but if you want me to do it, I'm going to trust your word that you're going to prepare me and equip me. And he did that every single time he called me to do something that I thought was above and beyond my capability. So he is definitely faithful, and he will also be with you if you haven't already experienced that. So this first PowerPoint will show you where I've been working and where I've been teaching and what some of those students become as far as pastors, some of the specialized ministries that God calls them to do in their nation of Gabon and elsewhere.
Can you hear me if I speak? Yep.
Okay.
This is a candid photo. We did not make him do that or plot that one. He really was studying like that with all those books. So, as I said, we're forming pastors, missionaries, pastors' wives, and lay leaders at the Bethel Bible Institute. And it's a U-shaped building on campus. The library is over there on the end, and then there are classrooms and administrative classrooms. You see gutters everywhere because it rains so hard. And these are where our students live. Each of those houses is a duplex, so two families live in each unit. There are two apartments in each. And the professor's housing is also on campus. This is one of my colleagues. I taught computer as well as the other things. And the students didn't usually smile that much, but we had good times in class. That's Todd Odd-Hall's teaching Greek. I used to like to teach my students outside of class, so we went to the Baraka Mission, which is the earliest Protestant mission. So we would go places for our classes. I took them actually into a mosque once, too, and they weren't sure if they were sinning. We do more than just study. We play soccer. The students off campus work in the churches as interns all year long, so they're busy. We try to keep them physically fit, so they have to do their share on campus, keeping the weeds down. And they also have their own gardens and work that they do at home. And yes, they do eat wildlife, and there's a lizard. And they eat all kinds of stuff. There's always work to do at home. The women are usually doing the laundry, but the men are becoming 21st century men. The little girls imitate their mom with their dollies, and they go to school, of course. So the kids are pretty active. There's even a youth group on campus for them. And some of our guys come as bachelors, but they think they have to be married before they graduate, so we have a lot of weddings. And they also think they have to have a baby right away the first year, no matter what we counsel them. And so there are a lot of babies. They're almost always born at finals time. I'm not sure why. Okay. And our director is not Gabonese. He's actually from the Democratic Republic of Congo, which used to be called Zaire. And we have students not just from Gabon, but also from Nigeria, Chad, and even we have a prince from Benin. This is him. If I told you the story of that cruel King Gezo, Gregoire is his descendant. His name is Gezo. Until recently, if you came to our Bible Institute, you would see a whole lot of Europeans and Americans. This was the teaching staff for many, many years. But God has formed African professors at the seminary in Cote d'Ivoire. And so these are Gabonese who have gone on for further study and have come back as professors. These are another wave that are currently at seminary, and they will be professors. So as the years progress from 2006 to 2007 to 2008, you see the white people diminish and you see the African people increase. That was our goal. We wanted to see this school become totally Africanized. And so African teachers are teaching African leaders. This is why we praise God for this transition. The wives, like the men, study computers and other academic courses. But the wives also have practical courses, because as pastors' wives in the future, the church ladies will be asking them to teach them these things. So they learn cooking, and they learn needlework and sewing, and they learn how to teach it to other people, not just to do it, but how to teach it to other people. And as I said, our graduates are not just pastors, but some of them have very unique giftedness, and they're in specialized ministries like TEE, Theological Education by Extension. So he runs that. Pastor Hippolyte runs the Alliance Bookstore, which serves all of Gabon, but he's a pastor full-time at a church, too. The administrator at Bongo Hospital is an African pastor. So he's a full-time administrator, but he also does his pastoral duties when needed. And then there are two more pastors serving full-time as chaplains at the Bible, at the hospital. There used to be one, but he was overwhelmed. There were so many patients there and families that they go around and they comfort people, because there are a lot of frightened people. As their loved ones are sick or dying, they don't know what to do. So they share Christ with them. And they see between 1,200 and 1,800 conversions a year just at the hospital. So it's a vital ministry. This couple has a heart for children at risk in this city. And so teens come. They can come there just to crash or to be encouraged. And if they need shelter, they're welcome there to stay. And then this couple is our missions mobilization couple. They are teaching the church how to be a missionary sending church. After so many years of receiving missionaries, you actually have to train somebody how to be senders and supporters. And in 2006, we had our first Gabonese couple go out as missionaries just over the border into Cameroon. And so they've been at work for almost 3 years now. So that's why we're rejoicing, because God has raised up African leaders to carry on the work once done by CMA missionaries. And not only has he raised up leaders, but this country is now sending their own missionaries to other nations. That couple was not the only couple. We also have a medical couple who were sent. They used to be nurses in Bongo Hospital, and now they're medical missionaries from Gabon to Guinea. And when I get to Guinea, they will be my colleagues. They've been my friends for a very long time, but they will be my colleagues on the mission field in Guinea. So we are just excited about all the development that's been going on in Gabon and how God has raised up these disciples to be missionary senders and disciplers themselves. So thank you for that. And it's been a privilege for me to watch all this happen. I've become the... By default, I've become the local historian, too, about what God has done in the mission field. And if you were here, I probably said something about the fact that the Gabonese had forgotten their history, that they didn't pass it on from one to the next. And most of what I told you was stuff that most Gabonese don't even know about how God has done amazing things through his servants and raised up leaders in Gabon since 160 years ago. So I'm at the tail end of the foreign mission work in Gabon. And so for me to know their past and know their future is a privilege. And I can see all that God has used to invest in them. And I was able to tell my students, you know, they're scared about the Alliance leaving. They're afraid. They've seen other missions leave and the local leaders do well for a while, and then it seems like things fall apart or somebody runs off with the money or something like that. And although they've been well formed and well trained and they've worked alongside the missionaries for a long time, I think they're capable, and God knows they're capable. But they're just afraid that if they get left alone to do the ministry by themselves, maybe something will fall apart. And so as I taught my students church history, I said, you know, God has really invested in you. When I look at the hundreds of missionaries who have come here, some of whom who have died bringing the gospel, some who sacrificed a life in America and said it was a privilege to die for the Lord in Africa and to bring the gospel. When I see how many people came to that small spot on the map of Africa as opposed to all the other places they could have gone, it just seems to me that God has concentrated an effort over a long period of time in that one small area of Africa. And I said to my students, you just need to be faithful. You know his word and you know how to obey him. You just need to be faithful to do that, and he will bless your work. And if he's invested this much in you, I think he's expecting great things of you. And so I really do believe that as they are faithful in serving him, God will use the Gabonese church and the people who are in Gabon right now to really do a work in the neighboring countries and around the world. This is no longer the era of the European and American missionary. We're going to see more and more in the next century that missionaries are from South America, that they're from Asia, and that they are from Africa, because God has been investing in those cultures for so long that he's raised up people to go out from those cultures into the world. So I praise God for that diversity as well. Now, I understand that this church has participated in a ministry called Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child. How many of you have packed a box for Christmas Child? Okay, quite a few of you. That's good. Not many of you ever get to see what happens to those boxes when they get to their destination. You know how much work it is to organize it. It's a very well-organized thing. And they're so organized, if people want to participate by packing a box, you probably know that they give you ideas of what you can put in that box. And then they tell you, okay, choose if it's for a boy or a girl and what age. And so that helps them to be organized as they're distributing these boxes. Well, I have been serving in a country that has received some of these boxes. And I got to see what it looks like on the other end when they get the boxes. So I'd like to tell you how Gabon has used this as a ministry. And remember when I said we kind of minister, we're kind of interwoven like that? You guys did not step foot in Gabon, and I don't know that your particular packages went there, but symbolically, you did pack some boxes, and some boxes arrived in Africa, so we'll pretend that they're the same boxes. But in sending those boxes, you didn't actually step foot in Africa, and you didn't speak to the people, and you didn't get to meet the people who received your boxes. But God sent a message to them of your love. Even if you never see them and they never see you, they received that message of love, and they were just amazed that somebody who never met them and never set foot in their country would do something so kind as to pack a box full of wonderful surprises for them. And the church was blessed because this is something that the church in Gabon could not possibly afford to do. Now, they're not dirt poor like many other places in Africa, and they certainly have enough people to go out and evangelize and share the gospel. But it wouldn't be realistic to expect them to pack a box like that. It would probably cost the equivalent of $50 to pack a box like that and purchase all those things in Gabon. And some of those things aren't even available in Gabon. And so in packing those boxes, you allowed the pastors on that field to have something in their hand to offer these children and to tell them about Jesus. Now, many of these children are from Christian families and go to church, but many of them were invited by their friends to church to receive a box. Many of them were people who have never set foot inside a church. And so those children who received a wrapped Christmas box heard for the first time the gospel message. And you didn't preach that message because you don't know their language and you weren't over there. But you know what? Your partner in ministry, who would have been one of the pastors, could speak their language, and he was there. So he took your gift, and he told the children the message of Jesus Christ, how he is the greatest gift of all, and he used your package to offer to the child to symbolically show them how much God loves them, that even people who don't know them would do something so kind for them, and that Jesus, who loved them more than any other, died on the cross for their sins, and he offered them the gift of eternal life. And so all of that was one message. You put that package in the pastor's hand, and that allowed him to preach a message to children who might not otherwise have heard. There are a lot of people in Gabon, when you invite them to church, they say, no thanks. But this was one ministry where they said, ooh, I'd like to do that. I'd like to be a part of that. And so God uses a lot of creative ways to bring his people together, to allow them to work in partnerships in ministry, and to bring many people to himself who wouldn't have otherwise heard the message. So I'd like to show you what it looks like on the other side of the ocean when those boxes arrive. There should be music, too. Is there music? Okay. Anyway. The packages, of course, as you know, come from America. And in this case, they went all the way to Gabon, not by spaceship, but by boat. There you go. And they arrived last April. Actually, there were two containers, not just one. And it's okay if it arrived in April. It's Christmas whenever they arrive, and the kids are just as thrilled. It's okay that it's not Christmas time as we understand it. And they were just jam-packed, so we needed a lot of help. So local boys were helping us. And they did a bucket brigade type unloading from the container to the nearby warehouse that belongs to the CMA in Libreville. And so that was the point where that was the place where they kept the boxes until they did the distributions in various points of the map. And the point person there is Pastor Jean-Marc Ngimba. He used to be the Alliance president, so this is one of his ministries now. This has nothing to do with the missionaries. This is a Gabonese ministry to the Gabonese church. So Shubang, you don't need to be told that they're full of gifts from America. And toothpaste, clothing items, crayons, pens and pencils, and candy. You probably made something very similar to that. And you know that each one is specified for a boy or a girl and what age group, so that each child gets a gift that's just right for him or for her. So here's Pastor Jean-Marc, and he's showing the pamphlet that every child receives with their gift, and it talks about Jesus being the greatest gift of all. And they had to plan who was going to get these gifts. There weren't enough for all the children in Gabon, so they picked one distribution site was the School for the Deaf in Libreville. It's not a Christian school, it's a public school. But we have a person in the CMA who teaches there and speaks sign language. So she was able to transfer the message of the gospel into sign language so that they could understand it and hear it, so to speak. Another distribution site was the village of Cocoa Beach in northern Gabon. And several pastors of several Protestant churches worked together. They each came with a list of, I think it added up to about 220 people. And then they organized the gifts by the age group, because there were like 220 kids. The kids were coming early to the center, so they just sat and watched the pastors organize. And the group that you're listening to right now, the music, is a praise band from the CMA, and they are entertaining the kids during that time. And so the pastor's wives would give the children from their church their gift, because some of the kids were a little bit scared and overwhelmed, especially if they were tiny. So the fact that it was their pastor's wife giving them the gift helped them feel comfortable. And yes, that's a normal hairdo. I believe these children are Fong. If you were here the other night, the Fong were that fierce warrior tribe. And God has done a great work among that people. And so they're no longer cannibalizing, but they are pretty aggressive in politics and education and everything else. So these kids were pretty happy to get these gifts. And then we have the remote village of La Lope in the interior. There's no Alliance Church here yet, but there is a couple who are church planters. They're not pastors, but church planters. They go to remote areas where there is no church whatsoever, and they begin the beginnings of a church. And when they've raised up disciples and when they've built a church building, then the Alliance is obligated to send a pastor. So they are the forerunners of the church movement. So this ministry helped them in that remote area. This is a place where people are extremely poor, and these kids have never seen anything like the contents of those boxes. So even though they look pretty serious in some of these photos, they were really, really happy. And God really got the message across how much He loves them. So thank you for your part in that ministry. And I don't know where your gifts went specifically, but we'll pretend for the moment that they went to Gabon. You get to see at least what it looks like when another country receives them. So it's a wonderful, wonderful ministry. I have never participated in it myself, but I got to see how God uses that as an evangelistic tool. And it is the Gabonese pastors who do the work of evangelizing with it. And so you're sending those boxes allowed you to participate with those pastors hand in hand to bring the gospel to Christ. Some of those areas, the kids, the place where you saw all the pastors, that's a pretty well evangelized village. But they did bring their non-church friends, and many kids came to church for the first time after receiving the gift. And I'm told that after a couple of times that the kid comes to church, the parents see how the church is ministering to their children and seeing the love of Christ in that ministry, and the parents start coming. And so whole families are transformed. And sometimes it's a beginning like this where they've received a gift. La Lope is a remote place where there's not even a church, and it's a scary place to go. My students will tell you that a place like that is steeped in sorcery. It's actually kind of scary even for a Christian to go, because they know, unlike us, you know, we tend to say stuff like that is superstition. But our pastors know that that's a place where the powers of darkness are at work. And so even somebody who knows the Lord, who knows that greater is he than in me than he who is in the world, they don't mess around with that stuff. They tread lightly, and they know that they're dealing with the powers of darkness. Well, Albert and Alice, the couple there, have never been trained at Bible school. In fact, they got all of their training practically at the side of a missionary couple named the Holcombs. And so Albert, when he was a little boy, just was under the hood of the car watching the missionary fix his car. And so by default, Albert learned how to fix cars. And he was right with the missionary when he was building churches from the ground up. And so Albert figured out how to construct churches. And Alice, when she was a little girl, was following Mrs. Holcomb around and learning all that she did in ministry. And so even though they didn't go to Bible school, they've learned all that they need to do the work that God has called them to do. And so they go into a remote area where the gospel has not been preached. They preach the gospel to a people. They raise up disciples. They build a church building. And then when it's time, the CMA sends a pastor there. And so I see God at work and forming these people in his own way to prepare them for the ministry, the unique ministries to which he's called them. And so, again, you're seeing an eye view of what is going on in Gabon today. After knowing their history, knowing how much God has invested in them, he's doing a great work among them, and we expect great things from them. Thank you for your participation, not just with the Great Commission funding, but also with the Christmas child packages. All that you do translates into some kind of ministry to them somehow, even if you don't see the outcome. So I want to thank you, and we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just glorify you for all you've done to invest in the Gabonese people. We look forward, Lord, to seeing all that you're going to do through them and with them in the coming years. We pray, Lord, that they would participate fully in the Great Commission. And we rejoice, Lord, that the nations are coming to you through these efforts, our efforts and the efforts of the Gabonese church and so many others around the world. Bless these efforts, Lord, and we pray that one day we'll be there when Jesus comes and we'll see all that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.